Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and the Lord has so much to say to his people. We must be aware of what God is doing and what he's saying to us. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Make sure you do it. You know, when Jesus turned the water to wine, just before he did, his mother told the men at the wedding party, whatever he say to do, do it. And that's what I say now. Whatever God get put in your heart to do, do it. Because the order of God, people forget that God has a protocol. He has to establish order. Now, one thing that he's going to do before his glorious return is give people one last warning so that no man can say he didn't know. God is going to do something. I don't know what. And if he released me to say what he's going to do and give me revelation first and then release me to say whatever it is, then I'll say it. But he's going to do something notable. And that's what I understand now. And people have tried to figure out the end times for so long. It's fun. I've tried to do it. I look at it. I study it. But three things I want to know. Three things I know about God, because that's what he told me. Everything God does is out of love, it is holy, and it is wise. And I think about the end times, what is revealed in Revelation to John. All of that stuff's going to happen. And the Lord gave us a fair chance to opt out of the destruction of the world. The ship of the world is slowly sinking, and every generation has its own tribulation. Now, people have taught that there's a grace period. First, man was innocent. Then man was under conscious knowledge. Then man was, after conscious knowledge, he was, that was human government. And after human government, that was the law. And after the law, then that was grace. And then grace would last until Jesus, till the rapture come. Then that would be a tribulation period. Well, guess what? They were doing pretty good in all of their ways, except when they said that the tribulation, or the 7-year tribulation, or what they call the great tribulation, is the last 3.5 years, is the way they used to teach it. But guess what? Though we have grace, we also have tribulation and persecution, because people don't agree with God still. And wicked men under wicked governments and wicked religious orders will kill you for loving God sincerely, because they believe in salvation by works. And we believe in that salvation through Christ, through Jesus' works, and that his blood made us righteous. Now, this is the thing. He gives us the power to become the sons of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. We were made alive. And see, when you're made alive in your heart, that's something that the world don't have. And we have a peace that they can't comprehend, understand, or enjoy. You have to be a believer to know this kind of peace. So a dictionary reference for peace doesn't do the peace of God justice, because no man on earth, my friend, nobody, not even the people that wrote the dictionaries, the only way they can comprehend, understand, and enjoy the peace of God is to first believe on Jesus Christ. Because peace, my friend, is fellowship. One day I said, Lord, what is your definition of peace? He said to me personally, fellowship. Now that fits. Why? Because when I first received Jesus Christ sincerely, I felt peace. I felt restored. I felt alive. I felt like I was cleansed from the inside out. And I felt whole again. I felt near God. I never felt that before. And I went to church all my life, even as a child. My parents were pastors, so every Sunday I was at church. I was in church all my life. And the only time that my parents didn't go to church or have church was on the fifth Sunday. And on the fifth Sunday, see, Daddy used to pastor three churches. He'll preach one church in spring. He'll preach at St. Paul. And then go preach at Springville. Then the next week he'll preach at at Mantua. He'll have one service at Mantua. So then on the fifth Sunday, because that was a shortage of Methodist pastors, they just didn't have the pastor to come down. So they had to do what they had to do. This was in Utah, Alabama, in the Greene County area where he preached. So on the fifth Sunday, we'd stay home, or we might end up going to Hopewell United Methodist Church. And it was very rare that we stayed home. So most Sundays in my life, I've been to church. So all the way to COVID came. And most Sundays I was in church, or somewhere at church, or some part of the week I was at church. So, but I've seen a lot of things happen. And I've seen good things happen, because God loves his people. And he wants good things to happen for us. He's in our midst. He wants to be around us. But see, before I got saved, I didn't know what peace was. I saw it in my parents, but I didn't feel it. So you can be around people that has the peace and joy of the Lord, and you can't experience it until you believe. Now, I was almost 20 years old. I was 19, almost 3 weeks away from being 20 when I asked the Lord to save me. Then I received his peace. So the dictionary version of peace is irrelevant compared to what I experienced when I received salvation. So people who have the real salvation, they have also the peace of God. They have fellowship with their Father. And there's nothing like it in the world system. See, the ship of the world system is slowly taking in water and sinking. It's on its way to hell and destruction. I use that metaphor because it's a slow sink. It's sinking. It's slowly sinking. And the world's going to go down with it. All of the world system. Jesus put it this way. He gave the parable of the net. At the end, he said, at the end of the days, the Lord's going to cast out a net, and he's going to separate the good fish from the bad. Not one mistake will be made. And people that love the world will go down with the world ship. And he gave John this revelation. Also, he gave Daniel the same revelation that he gave John. They both have their own details. And people tried to figure it out. He told Daniel to seal the book, and he told John to seal the book. So it is really a waste of time to decipher it without the Holy Spirit giving you revelation. So people made a protocol, and there's a few holes in it that I found. I thought about these things. And one day the Lord said, he's after sincerity. See, and recently he told me that sincerity begets sincerity. You know, and from the beginning he showed us that everything that God made bears fruit after its type. It has to be interrupted in order to do something different. So, people who are tree surgeons and, you know, people who, they know how to graft in branches in different types of trees. So when something's altered, it can do something different. But in its original design, it only bears fruit of its type. So when Satan came about and had his following fallen angels, and this is written about in the book of Enoch, 200 fallen angels came and committed themselves to marry women and create offspring, to have offspring that would be violent, and they taught violence in the earth, and they wanted to kill every man, woman, and child that would possibly be an ancestor to Jesus. So they were trying to find the seed of woman. You know, the first person that Satan thought was the seed of woman was Abel, so he had Cain kill Abel. Now, there was a lot of people he thought it was. You know, after the flood of Noah, he raised up Nimrod to try to find, see, Nimrod's purpose was to kill the seed of woman. So he made a one world religion, and he was going to build a tower to heaven. They restored the giant offsprings again, and, you know, especially among the Philistines and Casluim. You know, five of his daughters married, you know, when it says I am, the names That's a reference to Nephilim. And then there's a Rephaim. They were giants. Goliath, just like Goliath. Goliath was in the lineage of the Philistines. Under Caslehim. So, five of, you know, obviously. See, it didn't say they begat each other, you know, in Genesis, what is Genesis 10. But you understand that, and they didn't talk about the daughters, so the angels slept with the daughters, and those were the lineage of those. So people say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, you have to do your own research. Now, I was reading it, and the Word of God is always consistent in how it teaches and helps us understand things. But when you see something inconsistent, you have to pay attention to it, and that's your job. See, when you follow the lineage of Ham, see, this is Genesis 10 and 6. It says, the sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sapta, Raamah, Sabtaka, and the sons of Raamah were Sheba and Dedan. Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. That's the one I was talking about. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calneh, and in the land of Shinar, where all the confusion and false religion came from. From that land, he went to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Calneh, and Rezin between Nineveh and Calneh. That is the principal city. Now Mizraim begat Ludim, Anamim, and Lehabim, and Nephtahim, Pastrahim, Caslehim, from whom came the Philistine, and Caphtorhim. See, you got to look at these things that's going on. Now notice all the Mizraim's sons ended in I-M, just like Nephilim, and Rephaim. And then notice Caslehim, from whom came the Philistines, and Caphtorhim. And guess what Goliath was? A Philistine. Now Canaan begat Sidon, the firstborn, and his Heth, the Jebusite, the Amorite, and the Girgashite, Hivite. See, it goes on. Everybody begets somebody except for here. Mizraim begat Ludim. He did beget them, but notice the I-M. So the enemy, the Lord, give us clues to help us see what we normally wouldn't see. Now, I think in my Bible, it may be read different. That's why I thought that they didn't begat them, you know. Anyway, nevertheless, whatever happened, happened, and there were giants, and Goliath was evident of it. Now, see, this is the Open Bible, and it's in like a NIV type. So, but you have to check it out. How I didn't see that in the Holy Bible. It didn't talk about him begetting. Now, because I looked it over carefully, but you know, when they translated it, they may, you know, it could be different. I wasn't there, so I have to depend on the Holy Spirit. Now, the giants, their purpose was to, they were after destroying the seed of woman. Eventually, Satan thought that the seed of woman was Moses. You know, Pharaoh killed all the children of his day. And Judah, the tribe of Judah, way back then, Judah's first two sons, they let their seed go on the ground. Satan thought that he tried to stop the lineage of Jesus through them, because he suspected Judah. Satan's not stupid. He's just evil. So, I mean, he's like a very well-educated fallen. He was an angel, so that's why he's smart. And he's wise. And he was beautiful. But now he's a thug. When Lucifer fell, and, you know, as is written in Isaiah chapter 14, you know, he put himself first. He put himself before God without any wisdom. See, to run the universe, first of all, you can't take something from somebody you know, it's already wrong when you try to take something that belongs to somebody else. See, Lucifer was very wise, and Ezekiel 28 explains why he did it. Verses 11 through 19 talks about how Satan became Lucifer. And, well, it gives a description of him as Lucifer in Isaiah 14. It talks about how, why he fell. You know, he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars, the clouds, and so on and so forth, until he was like the Most High. He wanted to be in place of God. And so this desire came from the madness of sin. And that's why he's a thug now. He's a devil. And anything that follows him is a devil with him. Even people. You know, Jesus said, did I not call all of you, and one of you is a devil? So a person can be a devil just like an angel can be a devil, just like a demon is a devil. A demon is that's an evil spirit. That's the spirit of the giants. When they die, they become evil spirits. You know, that's a hybrid. You know, angel and man united together, and what you got is a giant. So God they're not sanctioned. So they can't get saved. They don't want to be saved. They're not, you know, the angels want their children to be saved, but they, you know, God wouldn't have it because they overstepped their boundaries. And the enemy used, you know, anything that's born wrong, anything that's wrong, it was created as a weapon. Well, man was created in the image of God, so God will give man salvation. Angels were designed by God never to fall. They had everything they need. They didn't need to fall. They were complete. They didn't need, you know, they don't have to be married. They're complete. God made them right. There's no reason for evil. And just like Jesus said, he said, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, that's everything God got. You can enjoy the kingdom of God. But you can't be in charge of it. And you can't, you know, you can only be, your authority has a jurisdiction. Adam's authority is over the earth. So, if you're a governor of Alabama, that's your jurisdiction. You can't be a governor of Alabama and the governor of Georgia at the same time. You know, so you have a jurisdiction, and we have a function. You know, I'm the head of my house. I'm not the head of your house. You know, so we stay in our lane and everything works together. But Satan, the people of sin, don't see it that way. They want everything they can consume. And when you help people and you bless people that are wicked, they don't always appreciate it. They'll say, well, you should have did it faster. the depths of sin and the depths of Satan, it gets worse and worse over time. So this is something God had to deal with. He had to get rid of it, because every sinner is a consumer. You know, they consume everything and leave nothing but debris in their wake. They trash everything. That's what sin does. Sin is always hostile. My friend wrote a book, The Five Steps to Transition, Reuben. And I thank God for it. But one of the things he said, I don't know if he was quoting somebody else, but what he put together, I love it. He says, sin is always hostile. It's not something that should be. So God put all sin on that sinking ship, the world system. And the world system going to go down just like Jesus said it would. So he told us enough information to get out of it and become sincere. But he didn't show us how it ends and all the details, because what sinful people will try to do. See, if you're looking for a sign, you're already wrong. Now, this warning that God is going to do, The sinful mind will try to look, wait to see if God wants us and then get saved. So I'm going to tell you something right now. Since God gave us this assignment, and he's given this on heart to heart, he's given this to his people, and who knows, I don't know who all will listen to it, but the sinful mind will say, well, I'm going to wait and see if God do something, then get saved. Well, see, God is looking for sincerity. He's going to get sincerity. But whatever God does, my friend, those that love God will be drawn, and those that hate God will be activated. See, when the love of, when Jesus came about doing good, all of the evil people were angry. Every viper was angry. They hated him for it. They didn't just want to kill Jesus. There's a scripture that says they wanted to kill Lazarus also. This is how viperous the Pharisees had become. They were like vipers, worse, because a viper can't read the Bible, but they could read the Torah, and they could read the prophets. They could read all about Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the and books that we don't even have. But the best they could come up with is kill Jesus because he offended us, because he go around doing things we can't do. And people that want to live, they don't care about the welfare of others. Jesus did something about the welfare of others. The widow woman in her funeral procession, her only son is laying up there on that bier. I guess that's how they say it. Jesus saw the condition, the situation, and he raised him from the dead. Her only son, the last of her line, and she was a widow. No hope of having any more children, possibly past childbearing years. Now, this is the love of God. If you want, see, people that say, well, God put this sickness on me, I don't know if he'll move it. I don't know if it's his will. Well, everything Jesus did is the will of God. If you have a dire strait situation, the last of your line just died, if you believe God, it's his will that he's raised from the dead. If you were born without eyes, the Lord wants you to see. See, he made provision through Christ so you can have eyes. If you were born without eyes, the Lord can put eyes in your head. If you were born without limbs, God can give you limbs. Preach, I never heard that. You're talking crazy. Listen, the mouth of two or three witnesses, let it be established. I read a book back in the 90s. Steve Glover told me to read a book by Robert Lyden. I got it in my house. Well, I read the book where he wrote about where he went to heaven. And he's named after Oral Roberts. That's why his name is Roberts Lyden. His last name is Lyden. And he said in heaven there's a warehouse full of body parts so that we can, if you lose a limb, you can go to heaven and get a body part. Well, how in the world do you do that? You claim it. You ask God for it. This is real, folks. I'm not kidding. So years went by. The Lord gave me the assignment to write the Spirit of Egypt. I wrote the Spirit of Egypt. And a lady named Donetta Kendrick, she typed it for me. And I paid her to type it for me. When she sent me the email with the book, she sent me a footnote of a lady that died and went to heaven, or the Lord took her to heaven. And guess what she saw? She saw a warehouse full of body parts. So anybody at any time can go to heaven and get whatever they need. If they need a leg, they can get a leg. If they need an eye, they can get an eye. They can get an ear. They can get whatever was maimed, cut off, missing when they were born or whatever. If they take the matter to God through Jesus Christ. See, when Jesus said, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed, that meant everything from the hair, all of it. Whatever you need, God got it. He made provisions. Now, what scripture do we use? Well, that's the one I know of the most that can fit that bill is Isaiah 53:5. Most people, because of tradition, poor teaching, bad training, lack of knowledge, they won't ever go and get what they need. So you have wonderful veterans with the leg blown out. They can go to heaven and get another limb. And it has happened before. Not only that, Sid Roth interviewed people that went to heaven and they said that they saw a warehouse full of body parts. So God loves us. Preacher, you sound crazy. You sound real crazy right now. Well, everything I say, go and take it to the Lord in prayer, my friend, because God made provision and he meant it. He's a king. He loves us. He's very wise. And he made, if anybody that has ears to hear, Jesus said, let him hear. Anybody that'll take the matter to Jesus, God's going to take them serious. Not only that, a man said, Lord, Jesus talked about his unbelief. He said, Lord, help my unbelief. It's all right to ask the Lord for help. When I want to win and I feel outclassed, I ask for help. The gift of faith. I once asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what is it? What is the gift of faith? And how does it work? He said, as long as you're in faith, if you don't have enough faith, the Lord can give you the gift of faith. Now, this, Jacob would say, my pilgrimage, since I've known the Lord and been following him, I have believed God for things. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be removed, cast to the sea, and it'll obey you. Okay, let's start with that. I've had some mountains in my life, and I asked the Lord to do some great things. When I needed knowledge, and I talk about it sometimes, I say, I will confess that I know what to do. And I stay in faith about it until it manifests. Now, some things happen quickly, some things happen over time, some things happen over decades that I know about. When I asked the Lord to teach me to live in his presence, he taught me a lot of principles that helped me to live in his presence. So, and sense his presence. So, some things take longer than others, but when I had the motorcycle wreck, I didn't necessarily have the faith to not get hurt. I said, I'm sliding down I-59 at 60 miles an hour on the freeway. All I could say was, Jesus. Then I said it again, Jesus. And immediately I knew that I would live and not be broke up and killed. And I almost got ran over by two cars. Now, I asked my pastor, I said, was that the gift of faith? He said, yes. And this is why. He said, because you didn't do any work. Also, you had revelation knowledge that you would live and be okay while you were still sliding on the pavement. All right. So one night the Lord woke me up and had me to pray for the nations, different things he gave me to pray about or take authority over. I took authority over principalities over various nations. So I'm in a seating, not in the Holy Ghost this time. I was speaking what I wanted to happen, what God told me to take authority over. Well, when God tell you to do it, understand that the gift of faith is in operation with you. So it doesn't matter whether you have the faith or not. As long as you're in faith, God will give you the faith you need. Now, I understand that the gift of faith operates in emergencies. Sometimes it's the sovereign move of God. If God tells you to do something that's impossible, that you normally wouldn't be able to believe him for, he'll give you what you need to get the job done. Now, I brought all that up to say this. He will help you when you need him to. But whether he give you do it by the gift of faith or your faith, you can still do it. Go to heaven and get what you need. Not just body parts, but whatever you need. Wisdom, knowledge, counsel, might. Whatever you need, the Holy Spirit can give it to you and show you how to attain. Now, whatever the Lord is doing that's going to warn the world, it's going to be the last warning before his glorious return. So, I know that it'll be designed to bless his people. He gives grace to the humble, and he resists the proud. Ezekiel was sent to people that God said he know would not listen, but nevertheless tell them anyway, in case they might listen. So whatever God do, it'll be something. I don't know if he'll use some people to prophesy the same thing, or one person, or thousands of people all over the earth, but it'll be notable. The wicked will be wicked. It'll probably harden their heart. And those that are on the edge of hell, they'll probably make up their mind to get off the edge of hell and start doing God's will for real and fall in love with God and learning to live. But whatever this is, I don't know what it is. And some, you know, unless God tell me, I don't want to talk too much. I believe in doing precisely what the Lord wants me to do. And because whatever he do, he loves humanity so much. He loves everybody, not just good people, but bad people too. But see, the wicked people, they will do wickedly and they won't understand. But God will give them fair warning one last time. Consider these things. Consider the love of God. Whatever the Lord do, it's going to be first loving. It's going to be by his love, because he does nothing without love. It's going to be holy, because he is holy, and that's all he'll ever be. And it'll be wise. It'll make sense. And there'll be no holes in it. But dead doctrines, that's is full of holes. Now, I happen to be out of time, but not the Lord. He'll continue to teach you mightily throughout the day. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Stay in victory and have